Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, March the 19th. And I would say happy St. Joseph's Day to anybody out there. Those of you who are Catholics, you probably celebrate this day. It's particularly celebrated, I think, more in the Spanish-speaking Catholics who come from the Spanish tradition that I came from. It's usually a big day if your name is Joseph or Jose. It's a big day for you. And I have had an uncle by that name. And he always celebrated. We usually gave him a cake or something. It's sort of like his other birthday. You know, you have your regular birthday, and then you have St. Joseph. So St. Joseph's Day, one of my favorite days in the Catholic faith. Today we're going to be chatting with our friend Leslie Eastman, who's going to be joining us today. We're very much on topic today, as Leslie likes to say, because we're going to be talking about social media. And President Trump just made a few statements about that this morning, and I had a little experience with Facebook myself this week that I wanted to share. So let me say hello to our friend Leslie Eastman. How are you, Leslie?
Well, delighted to be with you for another slow news week. Did I realize we would be at the epicenter of a fairly significant development in the news itself.
Yes, you're exactly right. You always pick these days where nothing happens, Leslie. I mean, it's just remarkable.
It is a gift I bring to Canto Talk.
Yes, you're the lady that makes that happen. You're exactly right. Well, today we're going to talk about social media and Facebook and share some experiences. But why don't we kind of let's begin at the end. What is the very latest? I understand that President Trump, you sent me the link. I watched it. President Trump spoke about Facebook and Twitter, so bring us up to date on that.
Well, there have been a series of developments, and this one in particular relates to Facebook, where the Trump's social media chief, Dan Scavino Jr., said his page was blocked without notice for simply responding to a comment question from one of his readers on a thread that they were working on. And it dinged his comment as spam and literally stopped further response from his entry onto Facebook. And this is not the last of or the first of any attempts at Facebook to, shall we say, squelch the conversations that conservatives are trying to have among themselves and also the wider world. And it is getting to the point now that it's coming to the head, and very, very, proactive conservative people are now trying to come up with ways to resolve the situation to make the social media world a much more level playing field for us to share our ideas and correspond and, you know, connect with those who we'd like to get additional information from.
Absolutely. And as I've told as I've told you before on some of our shows or when we've communicated before over the years, that I have no problem with liberal point of views being presented on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. Power to them. Let them distribute their information. I would oppose Facebook or Twitter if they would shut down, let's say, Rachel Maddow's page, to think of an example. But it should be fair to both sides, and I don't think it is, and I think you're right. It's coming to a head, Leslie. You know, maybe this is a good segue, as you like to say, to get into my own little experience with Facebook. You know, I have basically two pages. I have a page, the regular page, which I basically use for fun. I don't really do any politics on that one. And then I have my separate page, a second page, where I invite people like yourself and others who are on that page. So it's kind of an invitation page, and that's where I put like the show that we do and my American Thinker articles and so on. And on the regular page, I just do fun. I just have fun. And one of my hobbies is baseball, so I do a lot about that. So last week on Wednesday, I noticed that my face, I couldn't post. I mean, I couldn't take anything from my blog and put it on Facebook, whatever the word is for that. And the message would come back saying, your source or my blog post has been identified as abusive. So I said, wait a minute, what is this about? How can this be? I mean, I had just written a post about the White Sox, the Chicago White Sox, Leslie, putting
then
the names
the
on
word
the...
White. Wait, you used the word white. I've solved your problem.
Maybe that's it. I threw somebody crazy. So the White Sox put their names on the uniform, so that one was rejected. I guess someone found it abusive. And then I put another post about Henry Aaron, the great Henry Aaron, and how he got his job in the major leagues because somebody else got injured in spring training. So this is stuff I'm writing about, and they're rejecting this stuff. Then a friend of mine, Ziba Saul, who writes for Babalu Blog, a Cuban-American blog, sends me an example saying your post about, that train explosion in Spain back in 2004 has also been rejected. And I said, wait a minute. And then Barry Jacobson, our good friend, sends me notifications saying that all of those World War II shows that we did had also been rejected. And I said, wait a minute, this is crazy. So I wrote them a letter, and they never really respond to these letters. And I understand that. They've got billions of subscribers. But it took about 2 days, but then they cleaned it up and everything is back to normal right now. So the story has a happy ending, Leslie. But the question I ask is, what triggered that kind of a cancellation? It was nothing I wrote, I don't think. I didn't write anything abusive. So somebody must have, maybe a computer. I don't know, Leslie. What's your theory?
Well, I have a couple thoughts because, like yourself, a couple weeks ago, I too had the same problem. I was promoting our show. And then I posted my Temple of Mutt webpage to promote our show and was basically received a message that my post did not meet community standards. And then after a couple of experiments, I discovered that all my posts were getting the same message. I couldn't post from Temple of Mutt because it didn't meet community standards. And then, I decided I was going to register a complaint. I didn't panic because, among other things, my main site promoting most of my punditry is Legal Insurrection, so I had an alternative venue. But still, I like to keep my Temple of Mutt show for our promotions and to, get ready for our show and have it separate in case there's a topic that doesn't suit Legal Insurrection. And I like to use Twitter and Facebook. And we don't do anything abusive. The only thing, quote unquote, not meeting their community standards is if you apply the community standards of social justice green eco warriors, and then maybe I don't meet those community standards, but that's not the community I want to talk to necessarily. I am talking to a community of independent-minded conservative Americans who want the full spectrum of information. They may not agree, but we are both providing different types of information than the elite media is presenting. And so I have a couple of thoughts about what's happened that I will share with you when we get to that point.
Okay. Well, I'm anxious to hear it because my first reaction, I mean, anger, I have to confess, I was angry. And because I really could not understand how a baseball post could be abusive. I mean, that is beyond me. I can understand a rough political post, but see, I don't write those because I don't.
You and I are not snark filled, swear filled.
Exactly. I'm not calling people names. I'm not out there calling people names or I mean, I disagree. You know, when Obama was president, when President Obama was president, I always would refer to him in my posts as President Obama or Michelle Obama, First Lady. I mean, I would do my best to be courteous because I felt that, you know, I just think that's the right thing to do. We may not like the guy, but he's still the president of the United States, and she's the first lady.
Well, you did better than I did because I would only refer to him as Obama ever, and I still don't ever refer to him except as the former president, or I'll use his last name alone. I don't give him the honorific. So you're a better person than I am,
well,
but we all knew that anyway. So.
No, but Leslie, the reason I did it was because I wanted to avoid anybody – bringing it up, saying, well, you need to treat the president respectfully. So I just said, I'm going to be nice about this, and I'm going to make my point of view. I'm going to write my point of view. And as you know, my stuff gets put on American Thinker almost daily. And so there, that's a huge audience. So I'm trying to be as respectful as I can be when I'm talking there. But I always felt that my thoughts, and as I say, it's either going to be the shows or it's going to be American Thinker stuff that gets put on that page. I wanted it to be thoughtful and respectful because I respect the office, and that's just the way I am. I'm just that way normally. But so when I wrote this about baseball, about the White Sox and their uniforms, I remember saying to you, because you contacted me around that time, when you read what I wrote, I said baseball is now abusive. So I think you and I had a laugh about that in our messages. But then I put on Facebook this funny cartoon of Tarzan and Jane and the monkey, you know, and I said that, you know, that this is kind of how I felt. You know, I was confused. I couldn't understand what was going on, but I'm anxious to hear your theories because I thought initially it had something to do with a global breakdown that Facebook had and that Twitter had or whatever. I think not Twitter, but Facebook alone.
Yeah,
so I
no,
thought
Facebook
it had something
did,
to
I
do with that.
I think it may be related to that. I will be the first to admit this is just personal theory. I am not a computer expert. I have nothing to back this up. But it seems awful. First of all, the bulk of the problem started after that shutdown, where we started having experience. And it's my instinct that Facebook just tweaked its anti-conservative algorithms to the point they are so highly sensitive they hit both of our little sites hard, and we cannot be the only smaller sites that they hit. And I think this is they're preparing for the 2020 election, where it's going to be all anti-Trump all the time, and they're going to make it substantially harder for independent sites who are likely to support the president to communicate to a larger audience. And to promote whatever it is. I think this is the first phase where they're tweaking those algorithms ahead of the 2020 season.
Now, explain to someone like me who's not as up to speed as you are on algorithms, what is that? I mean, I take it that's some kind of a system.
It's a way, and it's a sophisticated way of Facebook to scan posts and look for certain words or phrases that'll trigger an alarm that something is abusive, something, and they've amended those algorithms and are blanket shutting it down, and maybe with anticipation that some people won't notice, maybe some people won't complain, and if they complain and it's not valid reason, then they'll bring us online because you and I are both back and able to post. What this means is that instead of being free to post whatever it is, as long as, you know, we meet certain, you know, criteria, we're not calling for the death of anybody, we're not,
we are very reasonable.
It means we proactively have to get an invitation back into the system. So that's just an extra layer of work we have to do that a progressive website does not. And Facebook isn't the only one with this issue. And you can take a look at Twitter. And Devin Nunez is poised to sue Twitter for the suppression of his points of view. And in fact, from what I'm able to understand, he's seeking $250 million compensatory damages and $350,000 in punitive damages against Twitter and a handful of its users for shadow banning conservatives, for, you know, actually kicking out a number of conservative tweeters that had a very large following. And the first lawsuit he's bringing doesn't look like it's going to be its last. Mm-hmm. So this has just been the social media giants. I use the word shenanigans in honor of St. Patrick's because we were supposed to do a St. Patrick's show.
Right. Good thinking.
It's because I think they're gearing up for – they never got over the 2016 election, so they're gearing up to double down on the 2020 election.
Right.
And so
what they're hoping – I think what you're saying – forgive me for interrupting you, but I think what you're saying is they're sort of – what they're trying to just kind of intimidate people, don't you agree? And getting you to
intimidate
say,
in part, but to wear us down. To make it harder consistently for us to do what we do, so maybe we give up and quit. And
just walk away from Facebook and not print anymore, and then leave the other side more space to operate, I guess, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So because there's a certain level of patience. You and I, we were both upset. And, it gets to the point where how much effort do you want to chase down the ability to go ahead and do your tweets or do your Facebook posts?
Exactly. No, you're right. I mean, I thought about that on Friday before it came back, before everything was brought back up. On Friday I was saying to myself, why do I want to keep wasting my time with Facebook? I mean, I'll just go back to my blog and to American Thinker and forget about Facebook. And so I understand a lot of people may have reacted that way, but there was a fighting spirit inside of me that said, no, if this is on purpose, I'm not going to take it. I'm going to fight back, Leslie.
Yes, and that's part of the trouble. We at least were able to write letters and get our web pages back to linking, which was fabulous. But what if next time there's more? What other flaming hoops might they have? An essay, a long checklist, is it point that we're such small fry that we don't have the legal resources necessary, like Devin Nunez, to sue? So how much, how much effort are we willing to go forward to protect our First Amendment rights? Because I got, there's 24 hours in a day. I know you and I work. I've got a family to raise. So this is a way that the social media has of making it the entry into the world of punditry and sharing information much harder for conservatives than it is for people with liberal or progressive tendencies who are supporting all the right causes, who are, on board with all the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it goes to what some of our representatives have hit on, the monopolies. I'm looking forward to seeing what they may be able to do to create maybe a new definition of platform versus publisher, which gives our big social media conglomerates a little bit more restrictions on who they can suppress and why, or gives them the liabilities of a publisher where they can be sued, like Devin Nunez is suing, and be held responsible for the choices they make.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember when the head of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, was before the Senate recently, and Senator Cruz asked him a very good question. He said, that you Facebook presents itself as an open exchange of ideas. So the way they present themselves to the world is, hey, anybody can come in and share ideas. We're just going to limit you if you use certain language or violence, but you know, ideas are welcomed here. And if that's how they're presenting themselves, that is not really how they are behaving. So in a way, they're misrepresenting themselves with not just the advertisers, but the subscribers. I can tell you that I wish there was an alternative to Facebook, because I would go there. But I don't think there is, Leslie.
No, and part of it is the Silicon Valley, the people who have all the technology, employees, and resources to create that, they will make sure that it's any such incipient entity mm-hmm. is killed in the cradle, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah. So again, you hit on something that I think is probably the most practical solution, and that is to go back to the old-fashioned way of doing
mm-hmm.
things. And web pages, you build your own web page, you set up links to news items or other pundits you want to cover, but again, and you maybe figure out ways to get donations.
Right.
But again, you're coming up with a lot of things, like there are instances where I think one of the entities was you can't use PayPal. PayPal wouldn't allow that entity to be used for donation.
Right,
so,
right.
There's a dozen different ways, but I think ultimately it's going back to web pages and making sure you have a website and making sure you've bookmarked where you want to go
mm-hmm.
and make sure you check in with those people, because you cannot rely on the big social media conglomerates to do the job anymore. They're not trustworthy.
That's right. No, I think you're exactly right. Leslie, let me take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll try to bring all of this to President Trump and what's happening right now with social media. We'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Just a quick reminder that we have a link to the music of Carlos Guedes on our show information. Carlos, of course, a great friend of our show, and we get to play his music, so we like to support him as well. Let's get back to Leslie. We're talking about social media, and Leslie, you know, you and I were sharing some of our experiences, but this has now gotten a lot bigger than just you and me, of course, and now we got President Trump fighting back on this. So let's talk a little bit about that and where you think this is headed, Leslie.
Well, you know, I'm never certain, because, you know, one thing about President Trump that we must be mindful at all times is he doesn't really give you his game plan entirely. There may be a few hints, but he's not the one to share his battle plan in full with anybody.
No,
so,
that he doesn't do.
No. But what I thought was interesting, in The Hill today, Donald Trump Jr. Has an editorial, which I think might be worthwhile for everybody in the battle to go ahead and read. Conservatives face a tough fight as big tech censorship expands. And when I said things are coming to a head, this is sort of what I meant, is now if it's on Donald Trump Jr.'s radar, chances are high it's also on President Trump's radar. So the Trump team is getting together, and, you know, battle planning how to deal with big tech and its censorship, its shadow banning, its demonetizing YouTube videos. I think that's what happened to Captain Capitalism, Aaron Clary. His YouTube channel's been demonetized. Been pulling ads for Republican candidates on the flimsy of excuses. There's other violations on the free speech of conservatives where on flimsy charges that if the same charges were applied to progressives, the progressives would be booted off of their threads and platforms, and progressives go chugging right along with, you know, pictures of you know, various, Trump attacks and other defamatory remarks related to conservatives. And Instagram is also part of this, and actually, and it's Instagram's own Facebook, and it censored a post regarding Donald Trump Jr.'s Jesse Smollett hoax, and it became known because he has such a large following. And the trouble with us, though we are very good at what we do, we don't have the level of followers. So we're like people like us, the smaller with small but steady, we'll say, you know, could get kind of smothered in this. So that the big techs have reached this level is now it's become apparent, and I'm hoping more robust plans to address this issue are being made well ahead of the 2020 election season when we're actually right in the fight for the next 4 years after President Trump's hopefully first term.
Yeah, no, I will tell you that I'm happy to see this coming to a head also, because we learned after 2012 that Facebook had been very nice to President Obama in his reelection. That, in fact, they used Facebook, and whether Governor Romney didn't know it or, you know, they didn't pick up on it, the fact is that Facebook was very much pro-Obama in 2012. And considering how close that election really was, you cannot discount the possibility that Facebook contributed to his reelection. And now looking ahead to 2020, I think we have to be ready for all of this social media being used against President Trump. And I simply say the following, you know, if Facebook wants to put liberal points of view, let them. But don't come back. Don't come against us and try to limit us.
Yeah, there's a wonderful feature on Facebook where if you don't like a post, yes, or if you don't like the source the post is coming from, you can hide it. You don't see it. So your people who are reading their Facebook can opt out of seeing all sorts of different things. I have many wonderful liberal and progressive friends. They like my Star Trek memes, and they like my coffee graphics and pictures and updates on my family, and they like to keep those rolling. But I'm sure that they hide my political punditry, but I warn them ahead of time. I don't have two separate, Facebook accounts, because that's hard for me. So you're going to see this from Legal Insurrection, and you don't like it, hit the arrow, and you don't have to see it anymore. And I'm fine with that. And I also make a point of not politically commenting on somebody who I'm friends with as a non-political entity. So I don't go and comment anybody else. It's a certain courtesy. And that's the trouble in this new, snowflake world that social media has created, where anybody can get offended and then demands the speech be squelched of the supposed offender. And that's just not a healthy way to be for anybody at any time.
No, that's right. And to get that angry with people also is not something that, as you say, is very productive. I mean, that kind of happened to me, Leslie, back in 2016, because you had this really partisan and at times got very ugly campaign between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. And the supporters were going to each, they were really attacking each other. And I was like in the middle of it because I had friends on both sides and so on. So I just said, I'm not going to comment on politics anymore on Facebook. I just said, I'm out of that. Now, I did create this other page so that I could put something on there, and I kind of knew who was reading it and the people who were reading it. First of all, they have to be invited to. They have to accept the invitation. They can pull out anytime they want to. So, you know, nobody's going to be offended if they see something political on that page. But on Facebook itself, the main page, I just decided just to focus on baseball and music videos, kind of not music videos, but music stories, things that I really like as a hobby, the kinds of stuff that have nothing to do with politics, but the kinds of stuff where, you know, like our friend Bruce, he and I do a lot of back and forth on music. And, you know, I sometimes will talk about a movie that I saw or something like that. That, I think it's great, but I see stories all the time that are political, and, you know, I don't necessarily get into the fight. I just look at it and move on. Because, you know, Leslie, you can get burned up with this stuff.
As I always said, when you join the Tea Party, you get to pace yourself. You have so much emotional energy, and you have only 24 hours a day, and how you choose to spend it is important. And
exactly.
If you intend to stay for the long term, you have to use your emotional energy wisely. And chasing down every Facebook post and flaming people that you disagree with seems like a waste of time, but also squelching. The trouble is that it seems that the big tech and the progressive Democrats hire people whose job it is, mm-hmm. is to be offended, is to find the Tucker Carlson, you know, interview from 10 years ago and try and smear him with that. And it's just disgusting. But it goes beyond even Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Amazon and Jeff Bezos is a known anti-Trumper. Jeff Bezos, their Amazon pulled Legal Insurrection's affiliate standard sometime last year, which is how we were getting money through buying products through Amazon,
sure.
through our web portal. And that hit our ability to support, you know, a couple of the editors who've been doing this, and really, but fortunately we're now a nonprofit status, which means that we can accept donations in a way that we couldn't accept for. So that's worked out. But still, that was one thing. And then more recently, Google has been busy, you know, hiding the Greenpeace founder from history. If you looked at the words Greenpeace and founder, the gentleman's picture would show up. But because he's now in, you know, a climate change quote-unquote denier, he's challenging the pseudoscience out there. He's been hidden from Facebook's, I mean, Google searches for the terms Greenpeace and founder. So it's all throughout big tech. And it rears itself in all sorts of different ways.
I agree. But in a way, though, it comes back to the media or to big tech, whatever we want to call them. And I'll just give you an example. I just saw a story this morning about Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live, something like 36%, according to a poll that I saw, 36% think that the show is too political. Well, if something is too political, it really loses, from my point of view, it loses the humor. Because the idea of political humor is that nobody gets offended. It's like Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson had a joke about everybody, but nobody got offended. Every night he would have something to say about whoever was president or in Congress. I mean, he always had something to say, but he didn't offend anybody. Nobody ever saw the Johnny Carson show and said, you know, Johnny's a Democrat or Johnny's a Republican. He was able to walk, you know, do it beautifully. But when Saturday Night Live becomes too political in the minds of almost 4 out of 10 people, they're not going to watch it. It's like, I don't watch these Grammys. I don't watch these shows because I know what I'm going to get, and I don't want to get it. I can do better watching a Western movie on the Retro Channel. I enjoy that more than, you know what I mean? So it's like they're hurting themselves. And I think with Facebook, I mean, a lot of the advertisers are probably thinking twice about it if because not all the advertisers are liberals, Leslie.
No, I think what they're banking on, or at least some of the shows, is they're because of the choices and diversity, is that they're banking on niche markets where they'll get enough of the audience to sustain whatever it is they need to sustain, and they expect people who are offended to go elsewhere. The trouble is they're limiting the venues to where people who want an alternative can go. And I think a good example is cable news. You and I probably, for the most part, have been watching Fox News consistently. And Fox News, you know, I have a couple shows I watch, but over the, especially the past 3 or 4 years since Rupert Murdoch has gone away, the shows have been, shall we say, veering more toward the left and a little less toward, with a very robust conservatism. Now, that's a choice that they seem to be making. Your alternative is One America News Network, OANN. Which at one point I believe gave Sarah Palin a show. And I find myself going over to that station a bit more than Fox News. I still balance it out because I like certain Fox News shows. Those are still very appealing to me. But Donna Brazile is now coming to Fox. I don't want to see Donna Brazile. After what she did in the debates and her comments about the white boys, if she's on the Fox News program, I don't care whose it is. I'm not watching. I have no interest in seeing that woman. And now that's forced upon me. Well, there are a lot of people who don't have the same choice I do because One America News Network isn't a cable option for them. Mm-hmm. So, we have a much harder threshold to do and much less alternatives, which means I think the time has come, and it gives me good hope that with Donald Trump Jr.'s post here, fighting President Trump is going to turn around now and fight big tech and give us an ability to have a place in the market sphere where we can connect with people and keep our First Amendment rights intact.
No, I agree. I agree with you. And I want to agree with you on this, and I really hope it happens just like you're describing it, because I think that everybody should have an opportunity to speak their mind and put whatever idea they want to put out there. I also have the right to not watch it, but it should all be, everybody should be on the playing field. No one should be limited. And here recently, it seems like we're the ones who are getting limited, and I don't like that one bit. Well, Leslie, I want to thank you so much for joining me today on short notice, but you're always great, and we need to do a follow-up to this. Why don't you maybe, let's wait a couple of weeks and see where we are.
Yeah. I'm trying to make a point of coming on at least once a month, because I do love talking to you and you know, getting the feedback from your wonderful and intelligent audience. So
good.
Absolutely. I think Easter is late April 20th,
sure,
if I recall. We'll target somewhere in there for kind of an Easter show, take a look at what's going on with the Catholic Church.
Absolutely. A lot of stuff with that. No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Let's try to do that. And I really would love to do a follow-up to this one today, because I think you're right. I think this is a story that has legs, as they like to say. I think this is going to get more important over the next few months. So let's remember this one for a follow-up.
Let me put it this way. President Trump has got to fight this battle now ahead of the 2020 election. It's got to be put to bed, or it's got to have some inroads in between now and January when the election season gets much more robust.
I agree 100% with you on that one. Leslie, have a wonderful day. And if we don't chat before Easter, is literally 30 days away, so hopefully we'll chat before that. But have a wonderful, and congratulations to your son. I've seen several pictures of your son. You and your husband must be very proud of him. He looks like a wonderful young man. Has he decided where to go to school yet?
Yeah, he's praying at this point and working very hard to get into the U.S. Air Force Academy.
I'm
very pleased to announce he is actually attending their summer seminar, which is a competitive program for juniors in high school. So we have good hope, but he's got great ACT score, and I didn't have to pay a single penny for that score.
No,
other than the standard fee of taking the test.
Right. No, no, he's getting in on his own, not because of his famous mother. He's getting in on his own, and that's the best part. Well, please congratulate Blake from me, and maybe bring him on the show one time. I love to hear what the experience of applying and all of that. I love to hear that. Once it's completed, I would love to hear that. So think about that for a show maybe in the summer.
Yeah, will do. Will do, Sylvia. I'll let him know.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, and give my best to your family.
You too, and a big hug to your lovely wife. And I'll touch base with you soon. All right, bye.
Thank you so much. Our friend Leslie Eastman, who's a contributor to Legal Insurrection as well as a blogger on her own. And today we talked a little bit about social media. There's some crazy things happening on social media. And look, I'm just a small person, but this is happening to many of us, and it should not happen. And we should fight back like Leslie's doing and like others are doing. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. It's absolutely gorgeous here. The weather is absolutely gorgeous today. I don't know how else to describe it. Wonderful day, and happy St. Joseph's Day, March 19th. Bye-bye, everybody.